remember this old saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. I didn't realize the value of that quote until I became the parent of a teen. So how do I make sure that I provide specific targets for my teens so they're not wandering aimlessly in this world?
Do you have specific targets for your teen to help direct him or her through life? Whether you're a parent, youth director, or you work with teenagers in another capacity, you have an impact on their lives. Today on Hope for the Heart, our host June Hunt continues to teach from her series, Helping Teens Through Turbulent Times. I do want to let you know that portions of this program may not be suitable for younger ears. Now, June is joined again by her Hope in the Night co-host, Jim Kress. Here's June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
Well, I have to say, one of the shortest and most mature questions from a parent came recently to Hope in the Night, and the parent wasn't calling about some huge problem that was going on, but asked a question that was right on target for a parent.
My daughter is 15 years old, and she's most likely she'll be leaving maybe when she's 18. I just want to make sure she's prepared. What can I do right now to help her to basically be a responsible adult with godly principles?
Isn't that a great question?
I love that. I remember when it came in.
Mm-hmm. In other words, how can I help launch her into adulthood where she is a whole person? Mm-hmm. How can I prepare her? And I can't think of anything more important than having your own identity strongly rooted in Christ. Any person in our lives can be gone from our lives permanently, whether by death or by choice. So in regard to identity, look to Christ to meet your deepest needs for love, significance, and security. Number two, choose to rely on Christ's strength instead of your own strength. And number three, die to self-willed living so that Christ will live his life through you. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jim, you and I have talked a number of times about how with kids, more is caught than taught.
Yes.
And you have been so aware of that with your own children.
Mm-hmm.
What you do, the kids have a tendency to want to do also.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at that from the standpoint of if your identity is rooted in Christ, that will help your teenager have a personal identity. When they see your identity is in Christ, they can see that their identity needs to be in Christ. Every teenager needs to have a personal identity. And a part of that identity is to have the identity strongly rooted in Christ. And the most important thing you can do as a parent is to model that.
Well, June, another target for parents of teens to have is to see your teenager as significant and a unique creation of God.
Mm. I think this is absolutely essential for every parent because teenagers are known to not always be at their best.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To put it kindly. And some parents just give up on the kids. But you could actually turn this into a prayer. God, I thank you that you have a unique plan for my child's life. And then take Jeremiah 29:11 as your promise from God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That also is helping your teenager develop a personal identity.
Well, June, you've already established for us the importance of the teenager in our home to have his or her personal identity and to have that identity mm-hmm. found in the right place. And the next target we're going to talk about goes under that heading so well, to discern your teen's natural bents, interests, and abilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, Proverbs 22:6 is a familiar passage to many, many parents. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So here, you would want to encourage your teenager to take part in activities that develop their natural abilities, their skills, and discover what skills your teenager naturally possesses. You need to know that. A way to discern the natural abilities would be to identify what activities actually brings him joy. What activities brings a daughter joy? Where can this daughter thrive? Cultivate that natural ability.
Well, June, we've talked with a lot of callers on our nighttime program, Hope in the Night, who struggle with having a critical spirit, or those who grew up in a home where there was a critical spirit, and now they're struggling in their adult life. But I know the next mm-hmm. target we're going to talk about just feels for me personally so very important. Express more praise than criticism, mm-hmm. complimenting your teen's choices that exhibit good character.
Well, I want to emphasize again that with children, more is caught than taught. When I see that a teenager has a critical spirit, I am always curious. I want to know, did that teenager grow up in a critical home environment?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
mm-hmm.
talking about overly critical.
Right.
And so often that is the case where one of the two parents had that critical spirit. You know, we thrive under encouragement. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. The opposite of that is tearing others down, being overly critical, being a fault finder. And I've learned that fault finders seldom find anything else.
Right. Well put.
Well, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death.
Yes.
Are you motivating your teenager in the way that you talk with him or her, especially when there has been negative attitudes and actions?
Well, June, what about the teenager who says, hey, lay off my music? Now, I may be listening to rap or punk rock or acid rock or whatever the kids listen to these days. There's nothing wrong with the music I enjoy listening to. What mm-hmm. is a parent to do with that?
Well, I would say, first of all, don't react out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Read the jacket covers. Typically, the words are written out, and write out the objectionable lyrics before you start talking with your teenager. If you can't find the jacket cover, listen to the music yourself if you can figure out what they're saying. I would be very specific about lyrics. Now, let me present an approach that I think is helpful. You want to start communicating love. You could say, I want you to know that I will always love you. Although we won't always love the same things, I will always love you. And you could ask, what do you think today's music is saying? And then wait for a response. And then express your concern. I'm sincerely concerned about some of the messages being communicated through the music today. And now you want to voice your objection. Do you really want to program your mind with the words of this song and then give the objectionable lyrics? I have found personally that if I use then a role reversal technique when I'm talking with a young person, it's amazingly successful. You could say something like this. One day, you'll probably be in the role of a parent. Would you want the mind of your son or your daughter to be programmed with this message? Your point will be clearly understood, and they'll say no. Then the last. Ultimately, it's your decision whether your mind will be protected or polluted. Because I love you, I want to encourage you to make a commitment to keep your mind pure regardless of peer pressure. In the long run, it will pay off. And then you have your boundary and just say, this is not acceptable in our home. Knowing, of course, you cannot control everything that your teenager listens to
mm-hmm.
outside the home. But you need to have that healthy boundary. Proverbs 23:19 says, listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. the important thing for you as a parent is to be sure to show them the right path so that they at least know where the truth is found. As a parent, you're showing them that there is a path that is right. Any teenager can fall off a cliff. Your role is to provide the right way to go and to protect them as much as is possible. And in this way, you will be a true reflection of God Himself.
We'll return with more from June Hunt right after this. Storms can destroy our lives in a way that makes recovery seem hopeless. June Hunt's book, Hope for Your Heart, provides hope for those trying to rebuild after losing their way in the storms. We would like to send you a copy of Hope for Your Heart as an expression of thanks for your gift of at least $25. And if you make that gift before the end of the month, we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Our order line is 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE, or you can visit us online at hopefortheheart.org.
Jim, I can remember right after college, I became a youth director, and I heard by the grapevine, in other words, from one of the kids, that one particular boy from a good family was sexually active with a gal. Now, what was I to do with that information? Hmm. And at times, we've got to make judgment calls. Do we say anything to the parents? Do we talk directly to the teenager? Well, at that point, I hadn't been around this boy a lot, but I did know his parents were very conscientious, deeply committed Christians. And I had this mindset. If I were a parent, I would want to know so that I could work with my teenager. And I really believed that these parents would do that. It was very uncomfortable for me to tell them, but I did. And I expressed that this is what I had heard. I didn't know it firsthand, but that kids were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And they did approach their son. He did admit that he had been involved with a girl. And I believe that confrontation, because it happened early enough in his young teenage life, had a very profound impact on him. I think parents many times don't know what to do, are aware that they're not aware of many things that are going on in their kids' lives. Many even aren't sure what to say, and therefore they're looking for answers.
Well, June, let me give this scenario here that may be all too familiar to many parents listening today. Your teenager is acting out sexually, engaging in heavy petting at the very least, or having intercourse with numerous partners at the very most. Now, you are greatly concerned about your teen's relationship with the Lord, self-image and self-esteem, as well as the possibility of your teen contracting a venereal disease or even contracting AIDS.
You know, Jim, I would assume that deep within the heart of every parent is this fear that passion will get out of control, because this is a time of major change within every teenager. Hormones are kicking in. Peer pressure is escalating. The influence of the parent is lessening, giving way to the influence of teenagers who may not have near the value system of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why 2 Timothy 2:22 carries such an impassioned plea. It doesn't say walk away from. It says flee, as in run from the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Teenagers are known to be self-indulgent. Not all of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But they typically have a temporal value system. They're not looking at the long-range impact of their actions.
Well, June, let's give our listeners some very practical steps, considerations they can put into place in this area of teenage sexuality and boundaries.
Most parents, when they were teenagers, were not talked to by their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have to really educate themselves as to how to talk with their teenager. Now, Jim, if you're waiting until your son or daughter is a teenager to talk about the birds and the bees, you're about eight years too late. I suggest about 5 years old, mm-hmm. before they hit the first grade, to prepare them to know what boundaries they need to have in regard to their physical bodies. In fact, just to empower your children to avoid sexual abuse, the best way I know to say it is the part of your body covered by the bathing suit is private, and no one should touch that part of your body unless it's like a doctor who is trying to help you get well. You need to explain that the physical body is created by God, and depending on the age, you will share pertinent information that would be beneficial for your child. I'm very impressed with an organization that we have in Dallas called Aim for Success, and it's received national recognition for its phenomenal work, and its major thrust is helping teenagers deal with the pressure of sexual involvement. So through an organization like Aim for Success, you could find out the facts about the pressure on teens, statistics regarding the rate of venereal disease among teenagers. And by the way, these kinds of negative facts can greatly sway your kids to take seriously a call to abstinence until there is marriage. There are effective arguments against sexual activity and for sexual purity.
Well, June, what if you really don't know where your teenager is on this? Maybe you know they're interested in a particular person they're dating. You may or may not know that person, and you really just don't know where mm-hmm. they come down on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can always ask. You know, it's a strange thing. I think it's parents who are far more uncomfortable than the teenagers mm-hmm. At times in regard to talking about sexual things. Kids are much more free with their conversation than adults. So listen to your teenager. Literally ask, what do you think about kids being sexually active today? Ask about it from a general standpoint.
And June, as you say that, I could think of a parent maybe rebutting just a little bit by saying, I'm afraid that I might plant the thought that then they would say, ooh, this is something I maybe need to check out, and that's not really the way it works.
I think they've had the thought for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know,
unless they have been isolated in Siberia or some remote planet, the thoughts are there.
Yes.
Because of the media, because of the physical changes within their own bodies. I would say it'd be important for them not to overreact to whatever they hear. Allow your teenager to talk openly and to express freely their own personal views on sexual issues, and then come back and ask them the basis for those views. Don't challenge them in such a way that it's my way or no way, even if you are on the side of right. But listen carefully as to how your teenager goes about making decisions. If your teenager's view is different, instead of just saying, you're wrong, you could say, well, this is how I believe, or this is how I see it, and explain your position on sexual activity outside of the boundary of marriage and the reasons for your position. Be sure to share the relational responsibilities that go along with being sexually intimate with another person. Don't just focus on the negatives of having sex outside of marriage, but on the positives of waiting to have sex within a committed, permanent relationship. For example, one of the things that you would want to explain is that no one wants to be a divorce statistic, and yet those who have premarital sex are far more likely, percentage-wise, to be divorced than those who wait until marriage to engage in a sexual union. You know, Jim, I realize that we could talk about boundaries in terms of limiting time that one teen would spend in a dating relationship or prohibiting a particular dating relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly might be necessary. But why not also include the boundary that God sets, stating that God, in His Word, only allows sexual intimacy within marriage? In fact, I would suggest writing out and giving to your teenager 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5, It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God.
Well, June, when it comes to a parent and a teenager sitting down to talk about the issue of sex, probably both parent and teenager to some level are uncomfortable. So how do they go about doing this?
Well, perhaps you could say something like this. God made your physical body, and in his eyes, it is good. Now, I know your body is yours, and that I can't control how you treat it or what you do with it, but I want you to know that I love you and care about your body because it contains you. What happens to your body is critical in this life. So as a parent, I want to protect you and take care of you. Over the years, I've done that, and it's been my joy. And I expect you now to do the same for yourself. I want you to see your God-given worth and how valuable you are to me. And I want you to respect your body as well. God made it clear in his word, and my own experience has made it clear that sex outside of marriage is harmful and does enormous damage. I realize that your own life experience hasn't convinced you yet of that fact. So you're left to decide who knows more, you or God. And who will you trust, you or God? God says that sex is good and wonderful and a beautiful gift for expressing love and oneness and intimacy and commitment. And it's the means by which life is conceived and brought forth. But it is to be confined to marriage, to that which represents his love for us, his commitment to us, and his relationship with us.
You're listening to Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. Do you know three steps to take if you suspect that your teenager is a bully? Do you know what to do if your teen is being bullied? In June Hunt's book, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries, there is an entire chapter dedicated to bullying. You can order your personal copy of Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries and the audio series about teenagers when you visit hopefortheheart.org, hopefortheheart.org, or call 1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488-4673. And this month, we're asking that you take a few minutes to share specifically how God has changed your life through this ministry. It's part of our June in June emphasis. You can leave your note at hopefortheheart.org, or you can write to Hope for the Heart, 2001 Plano Parkway, Suite 1000, Plano, Texas, 75075. These notes are not to honor June, but are to give us an opportunity to thank God for your specific life change.
This month, Hope for the Heart has a special offer to help you and help others. For your gift of $25 to support our ministry, we'll send you a copy of June's book, Hope for Your Heart, as a way of saying thanks. And we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Call 1-800-488-HOPE or visit us online at hopefortheheart.org.
Thank you for the stories we've already received of lives changed through this ministry. These daily radio broadcasts and other resources are made possible in part by you. You can be a part of this ministry through prayer and giving. Just visit hopefortheheart.org or call 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. Thank you for joining us and for taking the time to send June a personal note, letting her know how God has worked in your life through this ministry. Let me share this note from a listener we'll call Bruce.
I've enjoyed the way you patiently listen and give biblical feedback to your listeners. It's also given me hope to push forward in my battles and trials through the reading of the scripture that you often refer to. Sometimes I may have a hard day at work or something else, and by listening to your broadcast, it helps me to get more intimate with God.
Now, here's June once again with a closing word of hope from God's Word.
Some young people wonder what difference their behavior may have on their quality of life later on. Well, quite a lot, according to Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years and bring you prosperity.